Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Philos Weekly. This week, Guillermo Amaral joins me for a South of the Border show about something very important, how to notify your friends when you think you might be in trouble. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Guillermo Amaral. Episode 385, recorded April 26, 2016. Buoy. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by DigitalOcean, simple and fast cloud hosting built for developers. Deploy an SSD cloud server in 55 seconds. Try it today for free. Visit DigitalOcean.com, and once you sign up, be sure to enter the promo code FLOSS in the billing section to get your $10 credit. And by IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV is an easy, entertaining approach to online IT training. For a free 7-day trial and 30% off the life of your account, go to itpro.tv/floss and use the code FLOSS30. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, Libre, open-source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at Stonehenge.com, bringing you each week or as often as I can the movers, the shakers, the big projects, the little projects, projects you may be using every day and not aware of it, projects you may want to go find out about right after the show. But if you're driving in a car, don't look at it right away. You got to go home first, okay? Very important that way. Joining me again, once again, welcome back to the show, Guillermo Amaral. Welcome back.
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going okay, and I'm waving in your general direction, as we occasionally do. This is a all south of the border show, so I am in an apartment in Tijuana that my friend rents, and used to have a girlfriend here, but she took the microwave. That's really annoying, so now I can't even have caffeine in the morning, which is really, really bad. And Guillermo's just up the road near the playa, and we're doing a south of the border show today. So what is today's show? Today's show is about buoy, or boy, depending on what part of the country you're from, okay? So, and it seems to be, we're going to bring on the co-founders of the project in just a few minutes. That would be Meme and Rebecca. So we'll bring them on in a second to actually describe what it's about instead of us making it all up. But I guess it started out because people wanted to feel, wanted to have some degree of safety and don't always trust that the government's going to be doing all that. And we'll probably get some political stuff in here as well. I figured something like that. But it's still a project in its early infancy. So it's actually part of a family of projects all about people sort of being more active in their community and that's that. Now we'll see how good the elevator pitch actually was. I probably totally messed it up. But Guillermo, what did you take away from looking at the website late last night?
It does kind of look like a, I guess, an SOS type system. So, what was that thing they used to sell in the 80s or 90s? The Life Alert, was it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But on a mobile. So I guess instead of calling some, call center, it would technically just call your friends. But that is as far as I got because I was super sleepy last night. I'm still jet lagged, so well, I guess we both are. So yeah.
I'm boat lag. I was on a boat for the last couple of weeks, and I had to walk across from the U.S. to Mexico yesterday afternoon, and that just wore me all out. Well, anyway, instead of us continuing to make up what we think this is about, we'll go ahead and bring our guests on in just a minute. But before that, I have an important message, because whether you're developing an app, a website, or working on a server-based project, you need flexible, reliable, and affordable hosting. DigitalOcean offers Droplets, which are virtual private servers that can be customized and deployed easily to host websites, web apps, production apps, personal projects, virtual desktops, and almost anything else you can think of with full root access, unlike a lot of the hosting situations. This helps you get your project off the ground quickly and makes it easy to scale when you find success. DigitalOcean is used by over 600,000 developers, including me. I first learned about DigitalOcean last year at scale, and I've had a box running ever since then. I use it to build my FreeBSD packages and things. Deploy and configure your Droplets via streamlined control panel or simple API. And you can choose your OS, Ubuntu, CentOS, Debian, Fedora, CoreOS, and FreeBSD. That's my choice for those. Select from one of the many pre-configured one-clicks like Drupal, Docker, or Node.js to get up and running quickly, or build the exact infrastructure you need with root access to servers running 100% SSDs really fast in the state-of-the-art data centers around the world. It's highly scalable to meet the demands of a rapidly growing application or business, and you can also use advanced features like floating IPs for high availability, private networking, or automated deployments via the API. It's an extremely active community as well, with a large large and detailed set of tutorials on all the ways you can use your Droplet. You want to configure a LAMP server, set up a virtual desktop or VPN? They have you covered. And it's so easy to get started, you can deploy an SSD cloud server in as little as 55 seconds. DigitalOcean has incredibly affordable and straightforward pricing. Servers start at only $5 a month. There's also hourly pricing available starting at less than a penny per hour. But we're going to make it so you can get started today and deploy an SSD cloud server for free. Visit DigitalOcean.com and create an account. Once you confirm your email and account information, go to the billing section and enter the promo code FLOSS for a free $10 credit. That's plenty to get started and explore what DigitalOcean can do. That's DigitalOcean.com. And once you sign up, enter the code FLOSS, F-L-O-S-S, in the billing section to get your $10 credit for free. And we thank DigitalOcean for their support of FLOSS Weekly. And now let's go ahead and bring on our guest. Mamie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Randall. Thanks so much for having me. Super excited
very
to be
cool,
here.
Very cool. Yeah, and also Rebecca, welcome to the show as well.
Hi. Nice to be here.
And where are you? I think you're both in the same city, but where are you speaking to us from?
Yeah, sunny and dry Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And can you spell Albuquerque for us?
Oh, I couldn't if I tried, but
there's a Q and some U's and
yeah, okay.
It's a tough one. I don't live here myself, but I've been here for a couple months now, and it's quite a nice city, actually.
Yes, the city that Breaking Bad made famous.
That's right. Yes, big That's TV true. Industry here.
Okay, well, enough chit chat. Mamie, I'll start with you. The 30,000 foot view, what is this about and how close did I get?
Yeah, so it can be a difficult thing to talk about because there's actually quite a few levels of it. We like to say that Buoy is basically an app that helps you tell your friends where you are and what you need. And of course, there's a lot of different layers to that, right? Depending on who you are and what you need. It's kind of started by the context of this is that about 2.5 years or so ago, I was in Portland, Oregon, and I was taking a street medic training from an amazing group called the Rosehip Medic Collective. I lived in San Francisco for a while as a developer, and I kind of wanted a life change, and I left San Francisco to just hitchhike around the country. Ended up in Portland, Oregon, and meeting these amazing people and taking this training. And one of the things that I noticed there was that in order to coordinate where we're going to be and how we're going to respond to, in this case, medical community medical emergencies, all we really had were text messages. And so we had this system of, if you didn't really know where you were in the city, as I didn't because I was traveling, it was very difficult to know where to go and what you needed to bring there, because we had this sort of flat chat room like interface where our world was really about where things are and where our resources are in physical space. So we didn't have tools that were very useful for that. And also, as I was hitchhiking, this was sort of the age of Google Latitude, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I felt a lot safer when I was hitchhiking or just, traveling around, letting my friends know where I was anytime. I liked the way Google Latitude allowed you to share city location or specific locations. And then, Google famously shut down Latitude. And so I wanted to have something that there's sort of like technological backup for that feeling too, to have my friends be able to find me in case I was in trouble. So this has sort of like been rolling around in our head for a while. And then I talked to Rebecca about this, and we started to think through some UX diagrams and some so how this might actually work with developing technology and smartphones that. We're not quite at the same point in 2008, 2010, as they are now. And then with Rebecca's background in domestic violence survivor support, which I'm sure she'll talk a little bit about, we sort of realized that this could actually be useful in a lot of other situations as well, beyond simply just the individual case of I want to know, how I want to tell my friends exactly where I am and what I may need in the situation. So that's sort of where it started. And it's an interesting journey because it's kind of gone into a place where it didn't start out where it's going, and so that's been interesting. Does that give you
I understand it a lot better. It's like if anybody wants to know where I'm at, you watch my Foursquare check-ins because I check in everywhere. I'm all for meaningless points. I always love meaningless points. So I love being the mayor of places.
That's a good point.
Twice.
I think the important thing. Oh, is it okay if I jump in here? Important thing that. That May didn't mention in this story is that the thing that we have kind of built Buoy to do that's unique from these kind of one-to-one, like, I could look at your Foursquare check-ins and see where you are, or I could text a friend and tell them, you know, I'm going downtown and let them know, is that what Buoy does is it allows you to not just let an individual know what your status is, but to let a predefined kind of group, like a network of people, who, like a response team essentially, know what's going on for you, and then gives those folks the facility to coordinate with each other. So you're not just interacting with six individuals, but you're saying, hey, team, I need some help. Can you all talk to each other and figure out the best way to help me? Because I can't figure that out myself right now, and I need some backup. And that's really the, like May said, it's kind of gone in a direction that we didn't expect, but that's the most important thing, I think, that's come out of that evolution.
And does it give you a chance to, say, set up groups of people? One of the things I have is I have Portland friends, and I have Santa Monica friends, because I spend a lot of time in both of those places. And I even have Tijuana friends. Hi, Guillermo. So I have people all around. And is Buoy designed so that I could, say, broadcast to a particular shared interest group?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's actually two levels of this, right? So there's on the one hand, you have, I'm sure people are familiar with, like, the in case of emergency contact list on their phone. And so this is a little bit, on an individual level, you as one person can set up numerous lists like that. And then when you send an alert, you can either send it to a specific, what we call a team or a group of people who you trust, or you can send it to more than one at a time. But there's another layer, which is that because we want, you know, we're big fans of free software. I've been using free software forever. Love it. Love working with it. And so really wanted to have the ability for communities to own this infrastructure themselves and be able to self-host it, install it, use it in their own networks that they may already have in as part of community organizations, or like in the original case, the Street Meta Collective, for example. So there's already a group of people there with a shared interest. And, you know, they're already sort of a tight-knit physical space community. And so they can sort of have a Buoy instance that is specific to coordinating for street medic issues, for example. And so there's that additional layer of not just as an individual human, like as an individual user, you can have one or more teams, but also you can have Buoy be a special purpose instance of that thing that is sort of run by an organization of a small to medium size.
Just a little side question here. You mentioned that you can have groups and you can have people there that you can, you know, share your location with. How different would Buoy be from, let's say, having a group where you share location, you send a message, I'm going downtown, which will also come with your little location tag there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's actually one of the things that I think is particularly special about Buoy in this case is that it gives you a live tracking map. So whereas, so when Google Latitude went away, for example, I sort of started to, and I was still hitchhiking and sort of riding around the country and doing my like non-developer thing, I started to tweet out geotagged tweets of where I was so that people would know where I was if I was going to go to a place I'd never been before, a place that I felt a little, you know, not entirely comfortable in. But that was really sort of just one moment in time, and it didn't keep up to date with where I was, which is one of the things I liked about Google Latitude. And so Buoy does this as well. It gives you that sort of messaging interface that you would expect from, for example, Facebook Messenger. But right next to that, you also have a map where your, you know, like a pin that shows your location, as well as any of the responders who may have responded to an alert, will also show up and will move as you move in the world. And so there's that gets a lot more, it provides a lot more context for example, where I might be going instead of just, I'm, you know, right here at this instant in time in an emergency or in, even just in like a, you know, nervous situation. Let's say you're walking home, you know, from work late at night, you want to be able to have your friends keep track of you at all times. And so that's one thing that this does in addition to that I don't think, you know, Facebook Messenger can do quite yet.
Oh, that's nice. So you're, I guess you would be able, setting this up, you would be able to just turn on the location tracking temporarily. Like, okay, I know I'm going to a shady part of the city, let's say, and I can turn it on. And your friends who responded to that could see where you're going. But you can't turn it off afterwards, I guess, because this would probably run your battery low very quickly.
Yeah, one of the things I'd like to do sort of on a technical level is improve the performance for getting just working with the mobile battery API that's in mobile browsers now. But yes, the answer to your question is that is a thing you can do. In fact, this is another thing that sort of makes Buoy a little bit different than some of these sort of personal crisis response apps that are sort of coming out that you might be familiar with in this space. We have taken some extreme care to follow the National Network to End Domestic Violence's tech safety guidelines. And one of these is, if you are a person who is in a vulnerable situation, for example, a domestic violence survivor, then it's not always a safe idea to have your phone's location on all the time. And even if you're not, that'll run down your battery. And so a lot of these personal safety apps sort of require that your location is on at all times. And we've made Buoy work so that it can track your location, like I just described, but it also has the ability to work completely without location. So in that case, you get basically just a messaging interface with a map of the other people on your response team, so that you don't have to give up your location or show your location if that's not a safe thing for you to do. And this sort of comes back into like what is safe and what is not really depends on your situation and the emergency that you find yourself in. And we're trying to build Buoy so that it is as broad for the generic case of I need to know where things are around me as possible.
You know that you bring up a good point with the security, especially if you have somebody who has gone through something traumatic. It would kind of be important to have just your location shared with as few people as possible, right?
Yes.
So how does the let's say the membership work, or how do you authenticate who's seeing somebody else's location?
Yeah, so that's another really good question that has sort of two answers. The first way to think about it is that it's very similar in style to like Facebook friending or even maybe Skype contacts, where you can only communicate with somebody after you sort of mutually verified that you in fact want to communicate with that person. And there's two reasons for that. One of which was, of course, privacy, but the other of which is that it forces a conversation between those two people so that the responder, the person that you are inviting to join your team, has to take some action to for you to be able to contact them so that they know that you're setting this up with them. And that's another point that was made in the tech safety guidelines, is that a lot of apps sort of will make the assumption that, okay, you've added some people to your team, or you're sending an alert to these people, but you don't actually take another step to make a human conversation and actually describe what you might need in that situation. So for Buoy, when you get an account on some instance of Buoy, which again can be hosted by a local shelter or a street medic collective or a community group or even maybe just an apartment building that has set up this for their neighbors, then you will put in the email address or username of the person who you want to invite to your team, and they'll get a notification via either email or whatever profile that they've set up, text message for instance, that you want them to be on your team, that you want to be able to reach out to them in the case of an emergency. And they'll have to come and confirm that, kind of like accept friend basically, and then you can send alerts back and forth.
Okay, so let's say the registration process, if I want to start using Buoy, am I allowed to have more than one device? I guess that would kind of be a security issue if I, let's say, have my cell phone with Buoy with, let's say, my friends on there. And I also have a tablet that gets stolen, right? Is there a way to turn that off, or is it just limited to one, something like WhatsApp, or how does it actually work?
Right. So this is another area where we've had to make some interesting architectural choices, I think, that may not be what people might expect. And specifically, Buoy right now is a progressive web app only. So it's not actually a native app that you download off the App Store. It's actually something that you, basically it's a bookmark that you can add to your home screen if you want to or not. And again, this is partly this was made so that you don't have to install something on a device to use it. Because if you are in a situation where, for example, you don't have complete control over the hardware that you own, then that could be dangerous. So instead, Buoy can be used from any browser as long as you're connecting to a website that has Buoy-enabled features. And so this is why we call Buoy sort of like it's a crisis response system that is added to existing websites. And is part of why one of the things that's so unique about this approach is that it relies on the existing networks, the existing social networks that people have or community groups that people might be a part of to be of use.
Okay. So if I understood correctly, you would be able to log into Buoy using, like, let's say your Facebook credentials?
Right now it's just that would actually be something to add, but right now it's a specific username and password sort of combination, in the same way that you would log into, you know, a website of a forum or something like that.
Okay. So and you are not logged out if you have more than one session. I know I may be getting into the nitty gritty details here, but
no, that's okay. I like the nitty gritty details.
Focusing on the security aspect here. I'm you know, trying to dig into this a little. If let's say I open a browser session here, somebody opens one in another machine where I have my credentials saved there, you know, your browser can save your username and password sometimes. Most people aren't really, don't really have that in mind sometimes when you maybe leave your laptop in a cafe or something, right? Can both sessions be on at the same time?
Right now, yes. Although we are trying to make it so that it is both as easy to access without needing, you know, without the friction of having to log in, but also that what you've just described is actually a really good example of one of the tensions of that. So you can log out other sessions, but this is that's an area where we really want to do a lot more. We want to have a lot more conversations with the communities who are using it to figure out how to handle that and what the balance for that really should be ultimately.
I can totally understand that. You don't want to that could be a little restrictive for a lot of people, especially if you are, you know, not used to that strict level of security, right? So if you want to, I guess an idea from me, I would probably just add a little notification in the chat when somebody logs in twice, right?
Yes.
I could probably just let them know, okay, something's going, and let me just turn off this session over here. So how you mentioned it's web browser based, so I'm guessing you also have an API exposed. Is it Ajaxy? Can I connect to it from Ajax client or something?
Not yet, although that is something that we want to add. Right now we're building on top of the WordPress REST API, actually. So this whole thing is packaged as a WordPress plugin, which is another question I get a lot. You know, like, why did you make a WordPress plugin? And part of this is to make it as easy as possible for these small community groups that I've talked about to deploy and use today, basically. So we get the benefit of the WordPress REST API because all of the features that I've talked about are basically implemented by overloading core WordPress features.
No, I can see a lot of people have WordPress, and I used to have that myself for a while. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I can totally see the gains you get in just making it a lot easier for people to start a WordPress blog and, you know, have details there for, let's say, a group of hackers or whatever. or in this case, makers, if you want to, get right. A little detail of what I'm thinking about. And you can just have that there and everybody can see where everybody else is, I guess. But it does make a lot of sense. So you are planning on later on adding a let's say, more Web 2.0 API then?
Yeah, so the REST API gives us a lot of the core stuff out of the box, but we want to be able to, for example, add additional notification adapters so that it's not just, for example, email and text messages, but also you could send, for instance, like a Twitter DM, which is another way that we're trying to meet people where they're at and use the tools that these communities are already using for, you know, their own purposes, and sort of add this additional like technological augmentation on top of any existing crisis response plans that they might have, and for that we want an API to work with as many different services as possible. It's another reason why we went with a web-based model, because that gives us a lot more. It opens up a lot more doors a lot quicker.
Yeah. Okay. I see you beat me to the punch. I was going to work my way through there. Because I can see somebody using something like Twitter to send a DM, and that DM going directly to the group. In case mm-hmm. you use like a special tag or something, right? Because something you may not be able to open your browser in that certain moment. You just may have, or Twitter might be easier for you, let's say.
Right. The other thing that Twitter currently lets us do with actual SMS inputs, so you can send, you don't have to have a smartphone to use it, which is another consideration that we've sort of put a lot of work into, is trying to make sure that this is as easily usable by people who may not have the kind of access to hardware resources as we as developers might expect or be familiar with having.
Yeah, of course. And so I'm guessing this is real time, and you are loading everything from the webpage, streaming, I guess, all the information. So if somebody sends a message, you will see it real time on your phone or tablet, right? Is there any recovery situation there? Because I'm guessing most people will probably find their way into an area without a good LTE or even edge. So is there a way for it to reconnect quickly and, you know, update the location where you were last seen or something?
Yeah. Most of the tracking logic is client side. And so that means basically it's a JavaScript service worker that's running. And so as long as you've got your browser open, it will sort of ping, the device on which you are running it and ask, you know, do I have a connection now? Do I have a connection now? Do I have a connection now? And so there's that. That said, I actually recently watched the Floss Weekly show about PouchDB and a lot of and Hoodie and the offline first functionality that they're developing. And so that's something that I want to look much more closely at to see if we can get some better offline features built in. But we don't have that yet.
Okay, and maybe you can I guess are you guys planning something else? Let's say like a wearable version of this, maybe, you know, with the whole Internet of Things thing, maybe you can have like a little button, you know, to send like emergency messages. But I guess you would probably need like a different API for that.
Yeah. That hasn't come up. Internet of Things has come up in terms of what we can do in the case of emergency. For example, you might have a camera on your porch that you might want to turn on in case of an emergency. And so that would be an interesting integration. But we haven't thought about wearables. Have you gotten any feedback about that, Rebecca?
Not so far.
No, yeah. That hasn't been a thing that we...
How big is your user base right now? I'm guessing... are you still in beta, or is this project already full blown working there and everybody's, you know, you have a large user base?
Our users at the current time we're very much, like Randall said, still in the sort of nascent developmental stage of this. So what we have been communicating with the people that we work with, and we work with a lot of community groups, a really important part of our development process is to just actually sit down in person in real time with the people who this app is intended for and kind of work together with them around how to customize and build it for what they need. And so most of the communication that we've had with them around it is that the app is usable and ready to go, or the tool is usable and ready to go for the organizations to kind of test out and use in their own cases, but that it's not something that we would ask anybody to rely on in an actual acute emergency situation at this point. So that's sort of where we're at in our testing and development and user collaboration stage of things.
I'm calling it a very functional prototype because it's sort of, we just released V0.2 just a couple days ago, and it's going to take a while before I feel comfortable calling this anywhere close to 1.0.
Now that's I guess that is the developer's dilemma, right? Because they never feel anything's ready for, you know, to actually be right. Sent out. Well, there.
Yeah, and
I think
that,
we feel.
Is... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that we feel like, especially because, you know, we have big goals with this tool. And so especially because this is something that we would like people to feel like they can rely on in a real crisis situation, we want to make sure that it's reliable and tested and working as well as it possibly can be before we ask people to put their trust in it to that level.
Right. And the other thing to note is that a lot of times people are sort of have a reflex of calling, you know, making a 911 call or something because it's the thing that is most accessible, but it's not necessarily the thing that's best for the situation they're in part because maybe the situation they're in doesn't really rise to the level of a 911 emergency, or maybe they don't want people they don't know to be involved in the crisis that they're having. It could be a mental health breakdown or you know, suicidal feelings or anything like that. That those are things that I would say that SAP, you know, that you could use Buoy for now. But you know, if you're like, you know, in a burning building, I would say definitely also call the fire department.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Hey, I still have some more questions here, and I know Guillermo's got a few more as well, but IT changes daily, and a good IT pro is constantly learning and staying up to date with current technology certifications. IT Pro TV's high-quality video tutorials will not only keep your IT skills current, but they will bring you closer to achieving that new IT job you've already been working towards. They've got 1,000 hours of content, and new courses are added weekly. You can stream their courses live and on demand worldwide to your Chromecast, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, or PC. Plus, learn on the go with your mobile device. Course topics include pfSense, Citrix Zen Server, CCNP Security, A+, AWS, Ethical Hacking, CompTIA Advanced Security Practitioner, and Microsoft Server 2016 MCSE, and more. Over 100 step-by-step virtual machine labs and Transcender practice exams. That's a $109 value. One low monthly subscription price. No hassle cancellation policy. Transcripts let you follow from start to finish or jump right to any part of the video. There's a corporate pricing available as well. Clients include Harvard, MIT, UCSD, Stanford, and more. So check out itpro.tv/floss to upgrade your brain with the most popular IT certifications. Premium subscriptions are normally $57 a month, or $570 per year, but we have a special offer. Try it free for 7 days when you sign up using our code FLOSS30 to check out their courses, live streaming, and more. You'll also receive 30% off the lifetime of your account. That's less than $40 per month or $399 for the entire year. Again, just visit itpro.tv/FLOSS and use the code FLOSS30 and try it free for 7 days, plus save 30% off the life of your account. So I have a question because I don't know anything about WordPress, so you go gently on me here. Is that written in PHP?
It is, yes.
So most of the coding you've done so far, it's all PHP?
Yeah, it's PHP and JavaScript, basically.
Okay, cool. And so this could be hosted on, are there central hosting sites for WordPress?
So one of the reasons I actually went with WordPress is because I don't know of a single host that doesn't support it. And again, we really wanted to make this available to the people who we want to make it useful for as easily as possible. And so WordPress is kind of like runs basically everywhere. It's one of the first things that you know you'll see on a host, you know, one click install list. And that's one of the reasons why so many of these groups already have WordPress sites. So that was part of the reason why we sort of began to package it as a WordPress plugin. So if you're familiar with, you know, clicking the, you know, adding a plugin to WordPress, you can install Buoy.
Oh, cool. And how is this project organized? I'm you're obviously working on it and Rebecca's working on it, but how many other people do you have involved right now?
So we have kind of a pretty small core team. So the entire project is 100% volunteer, which means that there's a small number of people who have a significant amount of time to devote to it. And that includes May, myself, our awesome social media manager, and a handful of other people who have sort of contributed various things over time or who are working with us contributing on a more regular basis. And then we have, like I said, a number of community groups we work with. We have sort of partnerships with various different organizations. As May mentioned earlier, part of how this started getting built is we had the idea for a little while. We'd kind of been thinking through it and wireframing it. And then an organization called Tech for Justice that supports domestic violence survivors had a hackathon to get people together to work on technology specifically for coming up with solutions for supporting people in those situations. And that was where the first lines of code for Buoy were written. And that organization we've continued to work with and some community groups here in Albuquerque and community groups sort of based there where they are in Houston. So it's a little bit of a patchwork quilt of kind of different people with different interests who are contributing in different ways. And we're definitely always looking to expand that community reach and connect with more people who want to help build the tool out to be something that would be customizable and specifically helpful for their use case.
And so make that, let's continue and make it a call for action. So what kind of people are you most desperately missing right now?
Well, one thing that we would love to have is a designer. May has been really fantastic on the back end stuff, and also does some of the front end stuff, but I think it's not necessarily his bailiwick. And we, you know, we can definitely use, we can always use both technical and non-technical contributors. If you go and check out our website, which is in the lower third here, we have a whole page just sort of talking about different kinds of contributions that are valuable to us. So everything from contributing code to human language translations. If somebody wants to draw us a logo, that would be pretty cool.
Okay. So am I accurate? Is Better Angels a sort of a more umbrella organization? And what other projects do you envision putting under that umbrella?
Yeah. Do you want to take that or should I?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah. So the way I've been thinking about it is Better Angels is basically just a name of all the varied groups of folks who have, who sort of have heard of this idea and are like, yes, that would be something that I'd like to be a part of or I'd like to use. And so it's really just a name for a collective of groups that don't have a particular, they don't have any kind of legal structure or anything. Buoy is the name of the project. And so if you click on the Buoy link on the Better Angels website, you'll go to the project website. And then Buoy itself is sort of one piece of what we hope to build out with a larger vision to move from not just crisis response on in this individual sense, but like Guillermo was saying, sort of like for a group itself, and then maybe for groups of groups. But that's a little bit down the line.
Okay. How about localization? Have you got internationalization, localization on the roadmap?
Yeah, that's already all in there. So we could really use some more translators to who speak languages other than English and Spanish. Right now it is fully English and Spanish localized. But we have, I think, 50% done in French and about 30% done in German. So we have a few people working on those translations. But more languages, the better. I was emailing with someone in Barcelona the other day who was using Buoy to train union organizers how to use WordPress and then use Buoy as an example plugin that would be that would be sort of useful for them during crisis situations. So, languages from all over would be best.
Cool. And so you keep mentioning these other groups. Can you give me a few more examples of how Buoy is already currently being used?
So again, right now it's basic. We're really trying to make sure people understand that it is. We're considering it in a testing phase. That's one of the reasons why we got so excited by coming on here. Is hopefully more people will be able to test it and give us feedback on it. It is like Rebecca and I use it. When I'm just sort of out on the street and I couch surf a lot. I hop around a lot, and so we're sort of dogfooding it a little bit to share our locations. But it's not something that we want people to rely on in, I'm kidnapped mode yet. And part of that's our caution. Like we just don't feel like it's ready for that yet, but also we want to make sure that it is before that. And then the other part is it really depends on what the community organization or what your needs really are. So for example, here in Albuquerque, we're speaking with a group called Smart Recovery, which is an addiction recovery support group. And they have a phone tree that they currently use to get help in a situation where one of them needs support from another person in the group. And so that puts a lot of pressure on the people at the very top of the phone tree because they get mm-hmm. called first all the time. And so they were interested in Buoy because it would help sort of make, it would distribute that load a little bit, that the human load of that call for help to the entire group, sort of in a many hands make light work sort of situation.
Okay, cool. We're sort of running out of time. Is there anything else that's sort of interesting that we didn't get to in this conversation yet?
I guess one of the things that I'm particularly pleased with and sort of like, because Buoy has a couple of audiences, admins for websites who offer the Buoy feature set and users, I've been particularly excited by how much I've been able to make it usable for admins with really like one-click install. So, for example, we have a feature that allows you to do safe calls, i.e. you set up an alert to be sent in the event that you're not okay later. So you sort of preset an alert, and then if you don't cancel it, it gets sent out. But this relies on making sure that cron is running and various scheduling things happen at particular times. WordPress wp-cron isn't particularly good at that. And so we've had to do a number of things on just the programmatic side to make sure that we don't have to include extra special instructions for web admins to say, make sure that your cron jobs are set up like so and so on. And so that's been fun and part of the challenge, I think, to get this as quote deployable as we'd like.
Okay, cool. Then, what's your long goal here? Is this always going to be a labor of love for you guys?
Are you asking how we're supporting this? Because yes, basically, yeah. Absolutely. This is a free software project, not a product of any kind. It's really for community freedom.
Okay, cool. Because I'm trying to think of the exit strategy for you, which it doesn't sound like there is one. So,
no, this is a long term. Yeah, this is a struggle long term.
Okay, cool. Guillermo, you got anything else?
Well, I was thinking of maybe do you guys have any future features that you're like really looking forward to? Like maybe, let's say, SMS support, or I guess we already touched on different social media connections like Twitter, right? But do you have something in mind that you're really excited for?
The most recent thing that I'm really excited about is video conferencing out of the box, because we've been using the Jitsi Meet service, and they have an external API that lets us have, in addition to a chat channel and a map, the Jitsi Meet service offers video conferencing over WebRTC to all the responders in the room, and live streaming, so that you can sort of record a situation and then share media later on. So we've just put that in, and that's kind of exciting. And I'd like to see that get a little slicker. Right now it's still a crude integration.
And I'm guessing you're not planning on ever porting this to Perl, right?
I mean, I personally probably will not have the chops to do that, but I would love to see more. This is really just an idea in some ways, and so if someone would like to see this not run on WordPress, please grab the code. I mean, free software is free for a reason.
Well, you touched on you guys are holding this is basically a open source project. So are you guys funding this yourselves, or are you getting donations, or how does that work?
Yes, we are asking for donations. I sort of live my life off writing free software and getting donations for that. I've been happily unemployed since about 2010, I want to say, and I've been writing little free software utilities since then. And donations make up 100% of my income, so this is just another one of those projects for me. Donations go to in part to me and in part to other people who are working on the project. You can find the donation page on the betterangels.github.io link.
Are you guys planning on opening a 501 later on, or because this would probably fit in very well, especially with the whole security aspect and keeping people safe if they've gone through any trauma?
Yeah, I am not myself, because I sort of quit because I have trouble dealing with, ironically, organizations. But that's something that I think Rebecca and a couple of the community groups that she's working with is talking about.
So maybe we missed something. I'm not really sure. Anything you guys want to point out before we close down the show?
I think just to say again that, we're really excited about working with other people who find this to be an exciting idea. I think May would probably tell you, although I think that he's being a little bit humble, that the technology isn't, quote, that interesting, but that the idea is really interesting, and we really want to collaborate with people who would like to think through it with us, and who'd like to, who'd like to just kind of dig in and work on improving whatever skills that they are interested in working on and learning whatever they want to learn in terms of technical capacity or non-technical capacity in a real world project working on an issue that they care about. So yeah, if anybody who's listening to this who's like, oh, that's kind of a cool idea, we would love it if you'd check out the GitHub, take a look at the code, take a look at the website, look at our contributors page, and just drop us a line.
That would be so awesome. Hey, you guys, this has been a real worthwhile conversation because this is definitely you're using open source software in a way that manages to solve a problem, a real world problem. So I want to thank both of you for coming on the show today and talking about that. And hopefully we stirred up some interest here for you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Thanks so much for having us on.
Very good. Very good. That was Maymay and Rebecca talking to us about Buoy. What do you think, Guillermo?
I really like these type of projects. You probably won't take me seriously with this guy here. There we go.
Okay.
I really like these type of projects. You know, they especially projects that do help out. It's not, you know, just a another mail client or whatever, which I like mail clients, by the way. I'm not, although you're saying personally. It's not just another mail client. It's not just another Twitter client or whatever. This is something that could actually help out people. And I'm sure it's probably already helped out a lot of people, especially since they are working with groups.
Indeed. Okay, great. And yeah, I was going to just chime up with about that same thing. So there you go. You said it so well for me. I don't even have to follow up to that answer. So again, if you're interested in a project like this, now you know where to go to find out more about Buoy. So speaking of upcoming guests, we have a few more still on the schedule. Next week is Simply, which is not so much about the project. It's a simple API for making PDFs out of templates. But the guy who's coordinating the project has a lot to say about how to run an open source project. So that's really where we're using this project as an excuse to get together and talk about other things. So that's pretty fun. The following week, we have a surprise guest, and this is because I haven't scheduled it yet. So hopefully I can get that in before 2 weeks from now. We are going to be at OSCON, or I'm at least going to be at OSCON in Austin OSCON, right, which we talked about a few weeks ago. And I'm sure we'll find something live to do there, but I don't know what it is yet either. So we got two surprises in a row. Boy, got to stay tuned, right? Or you're going to miss it. And then a best practices badge, which is demonstrating that you're following best practices. So you can put it on a little web badge to say, we are following best practices, and here's how you can do that too. And then we just added to the schedule, since the last time I read the schedule, Varnish Cache. Many of you are probably using this if you have high-performance websites, but really, really big people use it. Basically, it's a reverse proxying cache. I know at least three or four of my previous clients all use that. They describe themselves as a web application accelerator. It's also known as a caching HTTP reverse proxy. So there's going to be a lot of technical stuff in that show. We have more people on the schedule, or pretty close to being on the schedule. If you go to the big spreadsheet, twit.tv/floss, you can find out what we have on schedule for scheduling. We're still filling Q2. I got about five more slots to go with that. We do have a live stream. We took a few questions from there this time. We're normally tape at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesdays. And so we had that today, and people were asking questions in the chat room. You can follow us on Floss Weekly on Google+, and also at Floss Weekly. Automatically bridges over to Twitter there. You can follow me at Merlin, but mostly I source my material on Google+. That's Randall L. Schwartz on Google+. I am, as I just said, going to be at OSCON, and there in my capacity as a host of Floss Weekly. And then also YAPC North America, which is the Pearl Conference, the cheap Pearl Conference, most of the expensive one. I'm also going to be there in my press capacity. Excuse me. And although the last couple of weeks I announced I was going to be at FISL in Porto Alegre, Brazil, I have since decided against it with the outbreak of Zika coming around, and I don't want to be even indirectly responsible for going down to Brazil, bringing the disease back. So I'm just canceling this year. So sorry for everybody that wanted to see me at FizzLay, but I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to wait for things to clear up a little bit. And then Dragon Con up in September, which is my big sort of my indulgence conference. So I'm on the EFF track there. But it's mostly about science fiction fantasy. And there's like 40 or 50,000 crazy people. They all get dressed up and do cosplay and stuff like that. Well, they don't all. I never have. So anyway, so that's coming up in September. Anything you want to plug today?
I guess people can just follow me on Twitter. That's at GAMARAL. I'll also be on BitCon. I think it's in about a month or two. And after that, I think it's my usual Comic-Con. That's probably it, though. At least for the events that I can think of off the top of my head.
Great, cool. And thanks for stepping in at the last minute to help me out with this South of the Border show. And as always, your insight is useful and handy. And maybe we'll actually get together this week. Well, like I keep saying we're going to, and then we never do. So, but I'm here all the way through Sunday. So
it'll make it easier. We can schedule something out.
Indeed, indeed. Well, once again, thank you, Guillermo, and thank you as the audience for paying attention to this, and we'll see you all again next week on Floss Weekly.